fascinating that in the Shulchan Aruch we actually find a very lengthy siman in Yerodeya Siman Shin Lamed Aleph on the halachas of Trumas and Maisras. Now, what's surprising is that the Shulchan Aruch only wrote on those things that halacha the Maisa. But that merely underscores the fact that the Beis Yosef, when he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, lived in Eretz Yisrael. Lived in Tzfat. Was born in Spain. And at the age of four, his family was driven out of Spain. The expulsion of the Jews in 1492. I presume he went to Portugal then, as most of them did. Later, he lived in Turkey, in Izmir. And then he came to Eretz Yisrael. So, as surprising as it is, 500 years ago, it was supposed for the Beis Yosef was halacha lemaisa to write in Trumas and Maisos. So it's really the only area that we have the mitzvahs atliyos ba'aretz, really, which is written about, you know, extensively. But there's some very surprising things. I wanted to take a look at something which is not at all understood. Start from Sif Aleph. Hatrumos v'hamaisros einam noyagin min haTorah ela be'eretz Yisrael. These are mitzvahs which min haTorah apply only in Eretz Yisrael. Bein bifnei abayis, bein shelo bifnei abayis. And that's a whole tumult what that phrase means. Bein bifnei abayis, bein shelo bifnei abayis. And I don't want to get involved in that. Now the Chazon Ish wrote about it. Does that indicate that shelo bifnei abayis is deraisa? So we'll see a little bit. But it doesn't seem you ought to learn that way, because of the next mechaber. Okay, so I don't want to dwell on that phrase, but the Chazon Ish does. Uravim is kinu, she noyagin afilu be'eret Shinar. Shinar is bovo. Nei she smuch al Eretz Yisrael, because it was close to Eretz Yisrael. Rov Yisrael hochel b'shovim shom, and people constantly went up and back from there. So they had to be in the swing of Tumas and Maisos. V'achachomam rishonim is kinu, she noyagin saf be'eret Mitzrayim. That in Mitzrayim they should have them. Eretz Amun and Moav, the nations Svivos Eretz Yisrael, Syria, Akainaba Soda. If you buy a field in Syria, Chayev is a Tumas and Maisus with every soif from the Rabbanan. Ushora Arotzes in Tumas and Maisus Noya Geis Bahem. There's no din Tumas and Maisus at all. Now Beis Bizman Azeh, I feel the Mavakum Shechzika Ba'Olei Bavel. And so we know that Olei Bavel did not conquer as much of Eretz Yisrael as Olei Mitzrayim. So even those parts which became part of the Second Commonwealth, may Ezra, and even though those were conquered at the very outset by Ezra himself, in Chiyuv Tumas and Maisus min haTorah ela b'divrayim. There's no Chiyuv to take Tumas and Maisus min haTorah. That Klal Yisrael in its entirety will be there. Lobias Mitzosam. Moshe Hoyse B'Meyezer. Rove of the Jews lived in Chutz Lorz. The Aseres HaShod, the Michal didn't come. That's the Mechaber sheet. So that itself causes us then to understand that when he said before, Bein Bifnei Abayis, Bein Shelo Bifnei Abayis, right, he's not talking Bizman Azeh. Okay, what he is talking about, as I said, that the Chazon Ish talks about. It's not our Isak for now. It's not the only place in the Yad where the Rambam uses this Lashon. V'yesh cholkim, now here's the Rambam. V'yesh cholkim, and there are those that disagree. Yusvir alu, the chayov and achshav be'eretz Yisrael b'trumas ha'maisus mid'raisa. That the chiyav b'zman hazeh in Eretz Yisrael is min haTorah b'trumas ha'maisus. Achlein, this is the tour he's quoting. Achlein nohagu kein. It's not been the minhag in that fashion. I'm not sure what he means. Achlein nohagu kein. I mean, so of course, you have to be mafresh, but I guess he means they were more liberal and things which, if it had been in a Torah, they would have had to be machmer. And we know that they were noyik to do things which imply that Tumas and Maestras amid the Rabbanah. So the Torah says that why do they disagree with the first view? Because that din, that they need bias kulchem, is a din in challah. In challah we find such a halacha. That to be mechuyev in challah and a Torah, we need all of Klal Yisrael. The Gabok, there is where it's written, b'vayachem. But in terms of trumas, there's no such pasuk. So consequently, the Torah holds that you don't need bias kulchem. So then starts a whole asik. It's still not so simple. The Gro writes, the Gro is very, very lengthy here. This is some of the biggest, this is, once in a while, the Goyen lets loose in a huge piece on his parish in the Shulchan Aruch, very infrequently. And here's one of these huge pieces. And one of the issues that he takes up is what happened during Bayis Sheni, what exactly was the status of the Trumas and Maisers. You could learn that undoubtedly that Kedushas HaMikdash and Kedushas Yerushalayim are eternal. That's true. But how about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? So the Gaon says, we paskin that Kedusha Shniyah, the first Kedusha of the first commonwealth, was only the Shaita, only at the time. But once it was destroyed, there's nothing that remained of it. But Kedusha Shniyah is Kitcha the Shaita and Loss of Lover. Meaning that the second Kedusha doesn't end. So, Kedushas Haaretz could be that there is Minatar, but is that necessarily so that we have Trumas and Maisers? Well, it really depends. If we need Bias Kulchem as one of the conditions, so even if you had Kedushas Haaretz, you still don't have Trumas and Maisers. Or if you don't need Bias Kulchem, and the Kedushas Haaretz is Minatar, you could have Trumas and Maisers Minatar. So this is the first thing, which is not generally understood, that the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah actually quotes a view, and the Ramah is in favor of that view, that Trumas and Maisers was done as the rice in Eretz Yisrael. It gives a whole different perspective on the mitzvah, number one. Now, there's a second issue which is very, very misunderstood. And what is that? This is Halacha Yud Beis. Peiros Eretz Yisrael sheyotzu chutz la'aretz. You take fruits, but I don't want anyone to jump the gun. Offside is a penalty. And in fact, I did see someone once writing on this subject, and he jumped the gun. Now, in life, you have to be endowed with a great deal of knowledge, and you also need the modesty to listen to other people. There are very, very few people in the world that of their own could just figure everything out and get it right without stumbling. But if you don't have very great knowledge and you lack modesty, so you wind up with bizarre results. So here we have Peiros Eretz Yisrael sheyotzu chutz la'aretz. He took fruits from Eretz Yisrael and he took it out to Eretz chutz la'aretz. Peturim from Trumas and Maisers. Potter from Trumas and Maisers. V'myotzu l'Surya chayovim emechuyu. U'peiros chutz la'aretz shenichnesu la'aretz. Then there are conditions. Chayovim nikfu l'maisu b'yad Yisrael achas shenichnesu la'aretz. There are cases that there could be mechuyu. So you may come to the conclusion, that's it. So all the fruits that come from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, what's the rabbi making us crazy for? That's on Furish. I didn't know the Shulchan Aruch that Peiros Eretz Yisrael to Chutzalot Peturim Mitzumas and Maisus. So that's it. So I can go buy all the Israeli fruits and vegetables and I don't have to worry about Tumas and Maisus. I'm a Furish and Machaba. And someone, in fact, even had the audacity to write it. But he was a person, as I say, he lacked in both regards. He was not very erudite, and he was not endowed with modesty. He didn't have to go too far to get straightened out. All he had to do was look in the side of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan on this the Tzvila Tzadik Peirush and the Smarchu B'chutz La'aretz, that the Peirus were fully processed in Chutz La'aretz, and they were bushels, they were packed in the bushels, etc., fully boxed. Aval achar meruah is meaning if they came from Eretz Yisrael and they didn't do the Gemar Malacha, they didn't finish processing them yet, so then they're potter. Aval achar meruah Eretz Yisrael, once they packed them in Eretz Yisrael, shuv lo miftaru b'chutz la'aretz. It's rather axiomatic in the halacha that chiyuvim don't go away. So if it became a chiyuv in Eretz Yisrael just because he took it out there, chutz la'aretz, the chiyuv is not going anyplace. So this is really the fundamental halacha that we have, which is mechayev us in Trumas and Maisus. And Rav Moshe Feinstein and his Truvas wrote the same thing, that these parents of from Eretz Yisrael are mechayev in Trumas and Maisus. Rav Yosef has written this. So we have a very general haskama to it. But so this is a very, very significant point. So this is the reason that we have to be concerned with Trumas and Maisus. If not Trumas and Maisus remains, Mr. Satliya's Barnes, I go to Eretz Yisrael, I worry about it. But till I go to Eretz Yisrael, why should I? What's my problem? So here we see if we understand the Shulchan Aruch properly, that once they finish processing them in Eretz Yisrael and they sent them here, so then we are mechuyev to be mafresh Trumas and Maisus.
What's processing?
Means they boxed them already. They finished. In other words, they didn't just dump like, oh, maybe if they dumped a raw whole shipload or something, you know, and they didn't clean the junk out of it, etc. But, you know, here, that they're packed already in cartons, that's already certainly meruach. Where they're shipped in crates, the chutzlars, is undoubtedly that that's meruach. You know, it probably means if you put one orange in your pocket, and you went to chutzlars, you know, and you harvested it, so it didn't have meruach in Eretz Yisrael, so Enoch and Ami would be potter. Now, once you box them up, that's it. You know, then that's the Gemara Malacha.
They send us the better
of course. What I'm saying, but they do Gemara Malacha. It's already boxed already by the time it comes. It's not that you put one orange in your pocket and you came with it in your pocket or in your valise. So here, this is the fundamental problem that we have. So we have the following. We have the Ramah Paskins, it's even Mechuyev Min HaTorah. And the what comes out, it's even Mechuyev Min HaTorah and Chutz La'aretz too. Because it's Peiros Eretz Yisrael. If they're Mechuyev Min HaTorah in Eretz Yisrael, and we bring them out of Eretz Yisrael, they're still Mechuyev Min HaTorah. Nothing changed. Once the Chiyuv is Chal, it doesn't go anyplace. So according to the Pesach of the Ramo, it would come out that our Yishchayv was to be Mafresh Trumas and Maisus Min HaTorah. But it's not at every Min Min HaTorah, it's something else. You know, Maisus Peiros is with the Rabbanon, according to most Shittas. Now, what's the rice of a Maisus is dog on Tirosh V'Yitzah? Grains, wine, and oil, olive oil. So to me, but the basic notion of Trumas and Maisus is a derisa of the Kumar. So we talked last week about three things: Truma Gdoila, Maisa Rishon, and we started talking about Maisa Shady. Rather than Trumas Maisa, that's as far as we got in Trumas Maisa. We just barely started to touch upon it at the end. So, in years 1 and 2, and 4 and 5 in the 7 year cycle of Shemitah, there's Aloha Maisa Shadi. In years 3 and 6, there's Aloha Maisa Ali. That is a significant difference between them. Maisa Ani doesn't have Kedusha. Merely, it's Taka money. So, if I know for sure that this is Vadai Tevel, that it's Vadai Maisa Ani, I have to give it to the Ani. But if I don't know that it's Vadai Tevel, then I have no schaivus, I don't know, I have no obligation to give it to the Ani. Why? We have our famous, most famous principle in Hilchos Mamonos. Hametzim v'chaver olav araya. An Ani comes, it says he wants to eat Maiser Ani. I say, okay, that's reasonable enough. If you prove to me that this is Maiser Ani, I'll give it to you.
Now, why is Mamonos? Why not
It has no Kedusha. Once you made it into Maiser, it doesn't have Kedusha.
There's a chiyuv.
I was mafresh it. The chiyuv is to be mafresh. That's the chiyuv. I'm a kayim the mitzvah. Now, do I have to give it to him? Yeah, there's a mitzvah. The Ramban learns. It's interesting. You know, the Yehuda wrote in one place. He said, I'll tell you a chiddush. He says, Lo kidmani odom ayolam. He says, I don't think there's any mechaber yet that wrote this. That there are two mitzvahs in Trumas and Maisos. There's the hafrosha, and then there's the nesina. Though the Yehuda saw this as a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. Subsequently, it's been found at the Ramban, I think, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, who's found to have written the same thing. That there are two mitzvahs that are involved. So, till you do the hafrosha, you deal with issues of tevel. Once you do the hafrosha, once I'm mafresh truma, baiser, etc., it's no longer tevel. I can eat to my heart's content the rest. The part that I was mafresh, now it's a shaila what I have to do with it. So if it's a truma, the truma's meiser, so those have kedusha. And I can't eat them. That's the reason I have to get rid of them. But the meiser rishon and the meiser oni don't have kedusha. So I could eat them just as well as the levi can. It's merely a question of who financially owns this. Ownership? So you want to claim it's yours, you have every right, prove it. Roll with the payers. Don't have Trumas and Maisers taken. I agree. And I pass on like Shmuel. And Hochum Mamanach Haroyv. So you're going to need better proof than that. So therefore, in all Suffolk situations, the Maiser Rishon and the Maiser Ani is kept by the person that's Mafreshet. Because nobody could make a firm claim to having the right to collect it. Yeah. Maiser Sheni is a whole different problem. Maiser Sheni really has two types of halachas to it. There's a din that in Yerushalayim you cannot be paid a Maiser Sheni. It means if you have Maiser Sheni that's within the environs of Yerushalayim, you cannot be paid that. At least on Vada Maiser Sheni. I believe on Suffolk Maiser Sheni, they know you have to be Mekel. Because I understand that when they do Trumas and Maisers on Vadai, sort of a Frati told me once that he goes till the Ganas Sanhedrin, which is just above at the end of Sanhedrin, or just above Sanhedrin or Mechavet. After so. Because we know that since they buried people there, that must have been outside the walls of Yerushalayim, because you weren't allowed to bury people inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So at Ganas Sanhedrin, we're sure that we're outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Yeah, so that's problem number one. So if we have Maiser Sheni, one second, in Yerushalayim, so we can't be paid there. Yes?
Isn't there a problem if you have Maiser Sheni inside Yerushalayim and you take it out?
No, you can't do that. No, you can't take it out.
You take it out, you can't be paid.
You can't be paid. So that's why what you have to do is you have to first be mafreshit when you're outside the city. You're right.
In other words, before you walk, you come in.
If I have tevel, I could take tevel out of the city. and be mafresh it. That I could do. Once I made it into Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, I could no longer be paid it. It won't help to take it out. But if I had Tevel, and it wasn't yet Maaser Sheni, I could take the Tevel out of the city, and then make Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim, and I'm able to be paid it.
What was the relevance of the Gan Sanhedrin?
Because...
They said the environment. So
what?
You said the environment are relevant.
Yeah, because we know at that point that it's definitely, since they buried people there, it's definitely was outside Yerushalayim.
Yeah, but it's still the environment.
It doesn't make a difference. As long as it's outside the walls of where Yerushalayim was.
Oh, okay.
No, so we don't know exactly. We have all types of theories. The second bias is really much harder to know. In the first bias, they think they know where the walls were. But I shouldn't say even I'm sorry. In the second bias, there's a theory of where the walls were. But I'm obviously not 100% sure. In Mizrach Yerushalayim, outside the United States, U.S. consulate. So there's a little... there's a little sort of... The ground is dug down a little bit. And you have, those things that they put, barriers. Those types of barriers like using a bank for lines, around it. So that is a stone which they posit is the cornerstone from the era of Nehemiah. In other words, that's how far the city went in that direction, towards the north. But I guess it looks like Rabbi Yosef was not convinced from that they're right. So Moreila is mechayev to go further. So that's problem number one. The second problem now, the second halacha of Maaser Sheni. Now Maaser Sheni has Kedusha. And I cannot consume it outside Yerushalayim. It can only be consumed in Yerushalayim when there are walls around Yerushalayim, when the city, the walls are up. Now, if I'm outside Yerushalayim, I could be paid on money and bring the money to Yerushalayim and spend the money on food in Yerushalayim itself. Now, if it's a time, an era when you can consume Maaser Sheni, it can be consumed, so then the halacha is that you have to be paid at par value, 100 cents on the dollar. But since Bismane...
You don't have to eat a patara, though.
What?
Do you have to eat a patara, or just in your shalom, you need to tell me as well, so it's okay?
I don't believe that you can eat a betumah. I'm not 100% sure on that point, but I don't think you can eat a betumah.
And tell me, Maaser Sheni, you have to burn?
I don't know. I just know you're there. Now, when Bismaneno, since we don't eat, can't eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim altogether, so Mameila, we're Saimachan Pidyon. And the pidyon could be, I could do as much as I want on one pruta.
And we don't eat Maaser Sheni today because of this tumah problem.
Well, it's also, we don't even know the walls in Yerushalayim.
Certainly if you stood near the Kotel,
I don't know, I'm sure
that was
Yerushalayim. Yeah, but you need the walls of Yerushalayim up too. It's one of the things. You have to have the walls of Yerushalayim up. Yeah.
So there are walls up. As we go off?
I presume the walls of the city.
There are.
And one small part of the city, but it's not that there's a wall around Yerushalayim today. Yes.
Well, based original, why is the walls of the second bias relevant?
Because that's Kedusha Shnei's Kitchel Osad Lovo. That's the Kedusha Yerushalayim remains from that.
So that area has
to be enclosed. Yeah.
So that, for there to be a purpose, there has to be a wall around that whole
yes.
area.
So kid. Why can we do the pidyon now only on pruta? Just because we can't eat it?
Yeah, so there's no...
Is that a real pidyon? I mean,
it's a pidyon. You know, a lot of things pidyon. You don't know. It doesn't have to be at par value.
I mean, we normally have when you buy something back from Hektish Yeron, you always have to add it.
That's something else. But here it can't be consumed anyhow, so there's no point. So we're not... Now, the problem is, this is the trickiest part of the Hafrosh of Trumas and Maisus. The Chazanish, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, is said to have called three people in his life Moron. It's a pretty good title to get from the Chazon Ish, to be called Moron. Reb Chaim Oizer. And the second one is Reb Kook, Zeicher Tzaddik Livracha. And the third one, I don't know who it is at this point in time. Now, Reb Chaim Oizer, he was a soulmate of. He and Reb Chaim Oizer were extremely, extremely close in Europe for many years. Reb Kook, he respected him deeply as a tremendous goyim, and his hashkafas he very deeply disagreed with him. But as a goyim, he respected him, that he was from the greatest Talmidei Chachamim of his era. So the Chazon Ish, before he came to Eretz Yisrael, he obviously wanted to be very clear in the halachas of Mitzvos Hatluyos Ba'aretz before he came. So he was rather perplexed with one particular aspect of the din of Ma'aser Sheni, and that's what he found that he corresponded with Rav Kook about this. That Ma'aser Sheni, to do pidyon of Ma'aser Sheni, I could do as long as I have at least a prutah's worth of Ma'aser Sheni. Now, if we make a cheshbon of the following. So, if I bought one apple, right, we said the Ma'aser Sheni is about 9%. So, depending on the level, let's say I paid a quarter for the apple. I made a dime for the apple. Right, so I may have less than a penny's worth. Now, it could be that if there's no coin that's that small, maybe you can't even have a prut at that level. And it's interesting, it sounds like nowadays in America, Rabbi Yosha was choshish to use a nickel for a prut. I guess maybe he feels that a penny is, you know, can't buy anything for a penny anymore. There's no, you know, chashivas. Yeah.
What? What can you buy for a nickel? You need at least a quarter.
Oh. I'll call upon him. So you need at least a pruta's worth of Ma'aser Sheni.
You can't put mafresh extra to make it reach the pruta?
No. So the question is, how are you going to do the pidyon if you wind up with less than Ma'aser Sheni? Now it gets complicated because we don't know, since the sources of the fruits for the wholesalers are varied sources. In other words, it's not that they gathered from one farm, they have from hundreds of farms. Yitochein va'oid, that in Tanuva's boxes, they have from five different kibbutzim in one box when they finish packing them. One of them is a frum kibbutz, and four of them are not frum kibbutz. So, only you're talking that only a small amount is actually mechuyev in trumas and mayim. So, or I could have the other one. So then I have, let's say, then I'll have 80% is mechuyev. And let's say I get a box which is 95% from a frum kibbutz and 5% from a chiloni kibbutz. So there's almost nothing in there that's mechuyev in trumas and mayim. So how much ma'aser sheni do I have? So this was the problem which vexed the Chazon Ish, is what to do about this problem.
Why would that be a problem?
Because you can't, the problem is like this. If I knew that this whole, I bought a bushel of pears and they all came from a non-frum kibbutz, so I knew that nobody took trumas and maises from them, so I definitely could do maises shein is going to be worth a pruta. But now, I don't know. I could wind up with a box of fruits where I have 5% is from a chiloni kibbutz.
Doesn't the Rabbanot require even the chiloni kibbutz to take
out? There's not what comes. I don't know how much control. And Eretz Yisrael is one thing. And Chutz La'aretz, zero. There are no requirements. They do what they want. And 85% of the wholesalers are not mafresh tumas and maisers. At all. Those are the facts, according to the Rabbanut itself. Those are the facts on the ground. Anything that you heard to the contrary is untrue. So, but how, now if I can't do the pidyon, so then still has kedushin, I can't eat it. So this is what they corresponded about, right? The Chazon Ish and Rav Kook, Zichronon of Roch. Now what emerged from all of this, I believe it's based on a Mishnah, is the following. That there is an odd wrinkle in all of these halachas, a very odd wrinkle, and that is you cannot be paid less than a pruta on a coin. That's true. But if the coin already is life, meaning that it already contains a pruta of Maisa Sheni of Kedusha already, then I can add fractional prutas to it. So again, so if I have a coin that has no Maisa Sheni on it, then the minimum amount that I can be paid is a pruta. But if I have a coin which already has a pruta of Maisa Sheni on it, then I can be paid a fractional prutas onto that coin too. Let's be happy that that's the way it is. That's what, you know, the halachas that they made. Now, so they arrived at the following. That they have a term for it. They call it a pruta chamura, meaning that there's a pruta that's live. So what they do is they go to a kibbutz and you buy grapes. Why? Because what are the three minim that are the most mechuyu? Is dogon, tirosh, v'yitza. So grain is very little in Eretz Yisrael altogether. So either left with olives or grapes. So grapes are just easier to deal with. So you buy grapes on a kibbutz, which you pick them for yourself, and you take them home. Then you mafresh tumas and maises from them, and you pay the maises sheni on one pruta's worth. I can buy enough that I know that 10% is more than a pruta, 9%. I'm paid that pruta, or that maises sheni, on one pruta of a coin. So I take a one shekel coin, a 10 shekel coin nowadays, right? And I'm paid one pruta's worth of Maisa Sheni onto this coin. So this is now called what they call in Eretz Yisrael, the term for this, the official is pruta chamur. Now, any time that I buy any fruits or vegetables and I have to be paid the Maisa Sheni, so even though I may have less than a pruta's worth of Maisa Sheni, but I can add it on to the pruta that I have on this coin. You need to keep cheshbon a little bit if you do this on your own, because a coin has X amount of prutas. So after X amount of time, it's used up. So what you could do now was be paid all the Maisa Sheni a pruta of another coin, or except for one pruta's worth on a pruta of another coin, or you'll have two coins. You know. So, but you paid all the Maisa Sheni except for the original pruta onto a pruta of another coin. I have my original coin, right? And let's say I could use that 100 times. So after 99 times, 100 times, so I'm now take, and I say, all the Maisa Sheni on that coin, aside from the first pruta that I started with, the next 99 prutas, I'm paid on another coin. Okay? On one pruta, I transfer that, right? To another coin. Yeah, a second transfer, okay? And I'm paid on a pruta of a different coin.
You had an empty coin.
Right? So now I'm paid all the 99 prutas that are on there. I'm one pruta of the new coin. So now I'm left with my old coin, with my initial pruta, which I know was Vadai Maisa Sheni. And I have 99 spaces left. So I start again. So you had to keep cheshbon.
An Excel spreadsheet.
What?
An Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah. Of what you were doing. And you had to be paid from time to time. So the yeshivish guys came up with a chap. But what was the chap? So they decided like this. They'll take two coins. And They'll say it stated at the beginning that when coin number one gets full, it should be nifta on one pruta of the second coin. And when coin number two gets full, it should be nifta on one pruta of the first coin. So you never are. So Rabbi Yoshev, though, held it was apparently a zilzal in the mitzvah to do the mitzvah in this fashion, you know. So he did not, you know, he did not buy into it.
What do you do with the coin when it gets filled up that you transferred?
Well, did you transfer? You put it on one pruta, so I can keep using that for my Isashani, ultimately. Well, I'll tell you ultimately what happens. Ultimately what happens is that my Isashani has his man beer. Shiloh, what beer is, if it's Hefker or to destroy it. So basically you take the coin, you know, when you mafker it, maybe you throw it down the sewer or whatever into the yam, you know, before an Erev Pesach. And then when his man beer comes. In the fourth year, and I think in the seventh year, twice. So now this is part of the problem. This is also part of the problems that we have. So even if I manage to get a pruta chamura, but so it's of limited duration, because on Erev Pesach twice in 7 years I'm going to have to get rid of it. I cannot allow to keep the Ma'is Hashem. Now it comes Chol HaMoed. What do I do now? Now I'm back in the bind. So this became a very, very vexing problem in Eretz Yisrael in contemporary times, how to deal with this issue. And this proved really to be the biggest obstacle for people to being mafresh trumas and maisers, is how to deal with the problem of the maiser sheni. So fortunately, they were mechadish how to deal with this problem. And they made, apparently under Rabbi Yoshev's, ultimately it's all done under Rabbi Yoshev's psalm. But Rabbi Frati made a Karen Meiser Shade. And basically, people that are to show, you become a member of the Meiser Shade for a minimal fee. And you're guaranteed that there'll be enough Meiser Shade coins available for you every day of the year. So, they only allow members to use the coins just because they need to have a certain cheshbon or where they're up to, how many coins they need to have. And they also take the responsibility, let's say, on Motzei Yontif Rishon, Pesach, that they have already grapes ready, and they, start immediately. So by the time you go to market, and the first day, Chol HaMoed, they took care of the problem for you already. So
but you don't get that?
No, you don't have to.
It's in the back.
They have it. Yeah, they're holding it for you. Now it doesn't have. Now you can use. That's what I also was Mavar, or what Yoshev holds. You can use even in America. You can use an Israeli coins. You don't have to have American coins. So they're also valid. So this is the way nowadays that they figured out how to deal with the Ma'is Hasheni problem. So you know, not everyone has to go running down every time when you run, to the farm and buy grapes on the kibbutz and go home again,
What do we do here?
We could do the same thing.
We could become
members of the Karen Meiser Sheni, and we all, that's it, we're a small fee, and we won't have to worry about it either. The same way they worry for the people in Eretz Yisrael. What?
So every time we talk about Eretz Yisrael, I go into a store, and I have to get Meiser, right away I have in mind, because I'm an owner of this.
Yeah, so you can use, then you're able to easily do. You have no problem doing the pinyin.
I have to say something.
Yeah, there is a nusach. We went over. I went over last week. The nusach and the siddur. We'll come to that again yet.
But how does a person know when he's buying Paris and where is his role? Is it not labeled?
That's a different problem. Here we have to be very, very astute.
Does it have to be labeled?
The problem is. The problem is that the unfortunately the retailers, and I understand some of the wholesalers, have become ganovim too. And I had an incident where two people called me about people that were seen taking fruits out of boxes from Eretz Yisrael and putting them into other boxes. I mean, Barius had that in his business, that he needed a certain spice and he didn't want to take it from certain guys because it's from Eretz Yisrael, and a guy told him he has from Chutz Lawrence. He came and he looks at the boxes, and the boxes are turned inside out. So he turned them back the right way, and sure enough, they came from Eretz Yisrael. So this is unfortunately going on. So just we don't have absolute control. in that regard. All we could do is the following. Number one is to be astute. Number two is not to buy in places where we know that they're thieves. So we have less likelihood of being nichshol. And then finally, number three, after all else fails, we still have a roif to be samecha. That roif peiros, not peiros, eretz yisrael. But we have to have our eyes open because there are more and more peiros, eretz yisrael in the market. There are peppers are constantly in the market, for example.
I always see like the
Well, the problem is the cucumbers are getting very complex also. Because it started off like this. I found one of our places, I think in Nevada, I found out they're selling Israeli cucumbers. So Israeli cucumbers, so I was alarmed because we do not allow any of our stores to sell produce from Eretz Yisrael. Because we're not set up to be mafresh tumas and maizes from it. And we can't place the responsibility on them. There were one establishment that we felt that the owners were frum enough that we were willing to let them take if they wanted, and they should take the achrayas for it. They refused. They didn't want the achrayas on their head. So I find out there are Israeli cucumbers. So we did an inquiry about it. So now in the world you have the Israeli cucumbers that are long thin ones without seeds. So now they have Israeli cucumbers which come from other places in the world. They're no longer Israeli cucumbers, they're kosher style cucumbers now. You know, Israeli style cucumbers. So we need to be astute and to, you know be on top of what's going on. Because the problem, as I said, the problem is an increasing problem. It's a very, very interconnected world. And shipping has become a very minimal expense in the whole scheme of things. You know, it's a very, very small expense. It's an expense, but it's a small expense.
What about the fact that some Paris Air Israel comes from the Negev, which is...
If we know that they came from the Negev. Obviously, most of the Paris Air Israel did not come from the Negev. That far south. Good, it's true. Rabbi Yosher holds that certain parts of the Negev, there's no Chiv and Trumas and Maizus on. Well, that's still not going to change the fact that the overwhelming role of the Paris is not from there. That's not the fertile parts of Eretz Yisrael are not there. So we need to understand the.
Does Karen,
Meister Sheni.
Meister Sheni. It keeps the coins?
Yeah.
You
don't have to worry about it at all. They keep the coins and they make sure there are enough coins constantly. Every day of the year. So we don't, so we could go any place. It's interesting, and especially in light of the fact that the Rambam brings a sheet that it's deraisa. I found it something very surprising. I mean, I know there were briska that did this. But I was in Rabbi Yosher's house a few years ago, and Erev Tu B'Shvat was on Shabbos a few years ago, and I think it was a family simcha. I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I went to see Rabbi Yosher Erev Shabbos. So someone came to the house and brought peiros for Tu B'Shvat. So it's interesting. He's a person who doesn't like to take presents. It's not his. So Rabbi Frati was mefayis him and told him it's a person that has a karas atov because he came to ask money shaylis and whatever. So he was mefuyis. So then Rabbi Frati tells him that the grapes came from Chutz Loretz, toiv, and the fruits are from Eretz Yisrael with the aid is hechsha for the trumas and maizus. So Rabbi Yoshev made him a shliach to be mafresh trumas and maizus for him.
Even though
yes, he's apparently mafresh tumas and maizes and anything that comes into his house. He's not, I'm not telling the whole world to keep that thing. And I knew there were briska that did this, but I actually saw that that's what Rabbi Yosef himself does.
Not the Haredes
group. The Haredes listeners.
No, not the
Chutzlars.
What? Not the Chutzlars
group. What?
The Chutzlars group also?
No. Just the Paris of Eretz Yisrael. So that was an interesting chiddush to me that he was, that's his standard for himself. So, but as is Hashem, I'm hoping that maybe one day, Shalosh Shudah soon, we're going to have a hands-on, practical, we'll have everybody bring an apple or something, And we'll practice at every mafresh tumas and maisers.
How much also?
Okay, good. We'll go over everything. I did the basics last time, but I think the next step that we need is a hands-on happening.
It can't be on...
We'll do it on Paris Chutzlars. On Paris Chutzlars. We'll do it on Paris. You cannot be mafresh tumas and maisers and Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's true. It's Emes. So I said, I think that we're living close to Mashiach's time. That's why that the Rabbi Shalom wants us here in Chutzlars that we should learn the dinim of Mitzvahs HaTlius Ba'aretz. So we'll come to Eretz Yisrael, we'll know how to be Mekayim the dinim already.
That's why we have the problems of
story selling. I guess that's what the Rabbi Shalom wants us to get in tune for Eretz Yisrael. So Ba'ez is Hashem. So that's the basics we've done. So we'll see where we go with Vaito. Yes. Okay, good.